This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
You'd sign for 86 right now.
Yes.
That's a great contract.
Second.
Great contract.
Would you sign for 81?
Ooh. Yes. Yes.
I don't know, man. Ginny's going to push 100, man. I have one on. I think she's over 100 now.
Rico, you too many anti-inflammatories in to hope that you're going to get to the century mark.
If Vegas was coming up with an over-under for you, what do you think it would be?
68.
No.
Oh, dear God.
You just said you know.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, the big 6 o'clock hour. It is DCR with you. Time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Would you live your life differently if you knew you only had 30 years left?
Yes.
28 years left?
And that's a silly question. Of course you would.
What do you mean it's a silly question? How would you live it differently?
I think you'd have to start. I mean, you'd have to start jam-packing more things into...
What are you going to do? Sleep less? Wake up earlier in the morning?
No, nothing to do with that. I mean, that would be things that... I mean, different trips I would take. I mean, there's bucket list things I'd like to do. At the pace I'm on with kids and everything else, I probably won't get to do.
Would you skydive? Would you take real
yes.
risk? You would?
Are you just going to go through the whole Tim McGraw song? Is that what you're going to do?
I'm not even familiar with that. I don't even know who Tim McGraw is.
You know
now
who
that,
Tim McGraw is.
That's more egregious than not knowing who Charles
I'm
Grodin
kidding.
Is.
I'm kidding.
About to say.
It's a shot at Canty not knowing who Charles Grodin is.
Well, Dave, I'm not alone in this one. There are people on social media that are saying the same thing. They have no idea who the hell Charles Grodin is until you brought him up. No
what?
Clue.
Rick, you knew who he was, right?
I knew who he was, yeah.
Midnight Run is one of the most underrated movies out there.
Yeah, never seen it, Dave. Never seen it. What you want from me?
I'd like you to see Midnight Run.
Okay, you want me to watch it?
Rick, you've seen it?
I've seen Midnight Run, yeah.
How good is Midnight Run?
It's a really good movie, yeah.
I think you'd love it.
Okay. I'll take my time getting to it just like you took your time getting to Ozark. How about that?
Listen, that was a full season. That's a full season.
How about that?
It was like 12 hours. Okay. This is less than 2 hours. I'll tell you what. Why don't you give me a movie recommendation, one I haven't seen. I will watch that. You will watch Midnight Run, and we will compare and contrast.
Okay. Sounds like a deal.
All right. You come up with that movie. By the end of the show, you'll have the movie?
Do I have the movie?
Yeah.
Have you
By
seen
the end of the show, you, take your time. You
have
know,
you
right.
seen Harlem Nights, Dave?
I love Harlem Nights.
Oh, okay. Just
shot the pinky toe.
Just throwing it out there.
Shot the
sure.
pinky toe right off.
Right off.
Right off.
Crusty pinky toe.
The crusty pinky toe. That's Eddie Murphy, Red
that's
Fox.
That's a classic. Oh, Richard Pryor
is
the star.
Great movie.
Great movie. Okay. I'll figure it out. I'll find a movie that I want you to watch.
Come on, sucker. Let's get it on.
Yeah. And then once you watch that, I'll get into Midnight Run.
Okay.
We'll do it like that.
That's fine.
All right.
Always looking for movie recommendations.
You done accused me of stealing. The only thing I'm stealing out here today is your face.
Sounds like Kwame Brown trash talking.
Yeah, it really does. Let's get into, what are we going to get into here? Oh, yeah, Tony La Russa. That's right. Tony La Russa, get off my lawn. What a bizarre take from Tony La Russa, huh? When his player hits a home run on a 3-0 pitch and he's like, we're gonna handle this internally. This is a big deal. You don't break the rules of baseball. Tell me that you agree with me, Rick, and you're not on the other side where you're going to take La Russa's side, please.
No, I don't think it's as easy as taking one side or the other. No, I don't agree with the whole, like, if you were in the military, you'd be court-martialed, which was something that came with
that was a little extreme yesterday. That was a little extreme.
No, but I think there's something to be said about if the manager is – if he's wrong or if he's right, if he gives you a sign as the player, you take the sign. You saw the sign and you decided you were going to say, you know what, I'm good. Your mean is going to do what your mean does, which is swing a 3-0.
You're me.
But, I mean, Rico, it's not like we haven't seen players run through signs before. Like, if a guy's running the bases and the third base coach gives him the hold sign and he decides he's going to try to take home, I mean, we've seen guys do that. We've seen that happen. And nobody criticizes those guys for making that decision, or at least not
out.
To this degree.
No, unless they're out. I mean, if you blow through a sign and you get thrown out by 5 feet at home, you're going to get criticized for it. I just think, I mean, this was one of those situations where, because I could understand it, playing baseball, like if you're, I mean, if I'm rounding second full speed and I feel like in the back of my mind, like this is in the gap, I can score, you know, maybe I don't pick my head up. to find a third base coach. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'm hell-bent on trying to score. This was a situation. Like, he knew when he saw the sign, take, and the guy's throwing, you know, 47 miles per hour. He's like, no, I'm not going to take this. I'm going to jeopardize this at bat for what? So the Twins don't get mad?
Yeah, that makes no sense to me, especially in a sport that praises the numbers and guys get paid off of how many home runs they hit. Like, if there's an opportunity that presents itself to put the ball over the fence, there's no way you should pass up on that as a player in the interest of making sure you don't hurt the other team's feelings or for, you know, disrespecting the game. I don't look at that as disrespecting the game of baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's so disrespecting either. The game of baseball, then a position player pitching is disrespecting the game of baseball also.
Yeah, exactly. Guy not running to first base, that's disrespecting the game.
Agreed.
Not knowing how many outs there are and losing your sense of what's going on in the game, that's disrespecting the game. I don't have an issue with it at all. LaRusso, huge issue, and here he is. You have to respect the game and your opponent.
There's a sportsmanship, respect for the game, respect for your opponent. It's real. It has to be the philosophy, and we follow it. I've been taught it. The fact that he's a rookie who's excited helps explain why he just was clueless, but now he's got a clue.
I can't believe that he's that bothered that he's... I guess I understand why he's upset, because they told him not to do something and he didn't otherwise. But the fact is that the guy then gets thrown at, and LaRusso has absolutely no issue with that. It doesn't even really defend the guy.
Because that's what he's trying to protect against. I mean, this is what you signed up for with Tony La Russa. You think all of a sudden he was going to change his approach?
You know, it's not respecting the game, not knowing the rules in an extra inning game. That doesn't
exactly.
respect the game.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, I agree with Candy 100%. We've said this 1,000 times. You know, if you're a team that decides you're getting blown out to the point where you can't come back and you want to throw a position player into pitch, you forfeited the game is over. Like, you waved the white flag.
Mm-hmm.
Game is over. So whatever happens after that point, I got no problem with. I don't know if this was more, you mean, disrespecting the game or the fact that he disrespected his manager as a
right.
rookie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm sure some of that is baked in there, too. Because, I mean, Tony La Russa did address that in his commentary about the situation, saying, well, you can kind of understand it because he's a rookie, but now he's got a clue. I just feel like in that situation, man, if the guy's going to throw a 47-mile-per-hour meatball right there, I mean, regardless of what the scoreboard says, I can understand why the player is going to take advantage of it and hit a home run. Like, it just – in my mind, when it comes to professional sports, that's not a lack of sportsmanship when you decide that you're going to take advantage of the opportunities that the opponent presents like that.
I think that's what's missing in baseball. Moments of like, we were talking about it yesterday during a break. I was like, did you see how fast that pitch was to RJ? And he's like, no, how fast? I said 47 miles an hour. Like, I think that adds conversation. Well, why do they always have to be this old man's game with, you know, there's
unwritten
rules.
Because you hired an old man. That's why, because you hired an old man.
You old stupid man, get lost.
I don't know. I have a real
why,
problem.
Here's the thing, though. Why is it any different, though? I mean, he's going to get that same. He's going to get the same pitch on 3-1. So why? I'm going to wait a pitch because that makes you feel better about it? At what point, too, does it change? It's so hard hitting baseball now. And again, this is a different case because the guy's throwing 47 miles an hour. He's a position player. But that whole mindset, like, we're going to take the first pitch, or if it's 3-0, we're going to take a strike. Why?
Right. Right.
I don't
change
understand.
It. And why are they? They're unwritten rules because they're ridiculous. Somebody's like, you know, these are so ridiculous. Let's not write them down.
Because if you read through them, you'd be like, this is the stupidest stuff I've ever read
so,
in my life.
So stupid. Now, there's a guy at the station that has a polar opposite view who I respect, but I don't like his take on this. And here it is. Kay, the guy's on the Kay show on Tony La Russa yesterday.
The guy disregarded a sign from the manager. How's that a good thing? How do you defend that?
Well, that's
as great as Mercedes is, how do you defend that he ignored a 3-0 take sign?
Well, that's my issue. Like, not that he swung 3-0 if he wasn't given the take sign. Hey, why do I have to adjust to your problem? Why do I got to throw my at-bat away because you guys can't get your act figured out that you got to have a position player, you know, getting blown out, right? But that's one end. But if my coach, who's a Hall of Famer, who I'm supposed to respect, gives you the take sign, you got to listen to the take sign.
Okay, so if you want to argue with La Russa giving the take sign, that's a completely different argument. But you can't argue with the fact the kid ignored an order.
Right.
If he was in the military, he'd be court-martialed.
Very strong take.
We're going from a guy swinging 3-0 to if he was in the military, he'd be court-martialed? That's some analogy there.
That's a little
come on, Rick, he's your guy. Defend him.
Defend him.
I want to hear Rico say this.
No, yeah. I don't think you know, swinging a 3-0 pitch that's going 47 miles an hour in a blowout game is comparable to being court-martialed. But I understand what he's saying. I mean, So what good is a manager in baseball at this point? He's not making lineups. He's not making in-game adjustments. It's all coming from the GM and analytics. And now you have a rookie who clearly sees a take to the point where Tony La Russa says, I could tell this idiot was going to swing, so I came out on the step and was screaming, take, 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 and he still swung. And then you listen to the comments after the game from Mercedes, and he's like, I'm always doing your mean. For that reason, I'm here right now.
I didn't love that, Rico.
I'm always doing your mean. That. That's what I do.
I didn't love that. Sounds like he could have played for the Mets a few years ago. But
listen,
but
if you have an issue that he swung when the manager told him not to, I guess I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but Dave, here's my issue with that, man. As a former professional athlete, like there have been times where I didn't do what the coach told me to do. Like every player has those moments that happens, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But in a situation where you hit the ball over the fence, where you do something positive for your team, I don't know, man, to be that critical of it. I feel like that's a little bit much from La Russa. It's just a little bit much for me.
It is a little bit much. I don't like to take it all. Yeah. George, Long Island. George, you're next up on 98.7.
You know what, boys? I got to give you a little disagreement on this because the coach, hey, listen, they're in first place, correct?
Yes.
And why are they in first place? The coach is leading the team.
You think they're in first place, not because of Lucas Giolito, not because of Dallas Keuchel, not because of Abreu and Madrigal. They're in first place because of Tony La Russa and him not knowing the rules of the game?
Well, you know what? The me culture is canceling these things out. It's all about me. Come on, guys. Seriously?
That's not what
let's take a football analogy. And, you know, if the quarterback takes the knee at the end of the game and the other team's trying to get the ball back, I mean, you know, it's the same thing. But you know what? You got to respect the game. And I think he disrespected the game by doing what he did. It's a me culture. It's wrong.
I think it's two different conversations, though. George, it's two different conversations.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one, Rico. But, I mean, here's the thing. I have the utmost respect for Tom Coughlin and won a Super Bowl on his team in 2011. There were times where there were players, including me, didn't always listen to what Coach Coughlin had to say about any given situation, or we didn't do what he wanted us to do in a game. There were times. That doesn't mean that we don't respect the coach. That doesn't mean that we don't respect the game. But that's just a situation where in high-level sports, you just feel like, okay, I can make this play, and I'm going to go ahead and make this play. Now, I get that the situation got a little out of hand in that game with the White Sox the other night, and the game was already decided because they had a position player in there pitching. I understand that, but, I mean, to say that the kid was disrespecting the game by hitting a meatball over the fence, I just think that that's taking it too far, man.
It is. It's ridiculous.
It really is.
The only thing I think you can be upset with is that the manager told him, do not swing, and he swung. But why? Why would you tell him, don't swing? Let the guy, I mean, can't you just have fun in that moment? Why can't, I mean, it's a 15-4 game, so if it's 16-4 or 17-4, who cares? It's fun.
Well, for Tony La Russa, that's what he believes. I mean, that's exactly why we keep talking about the unwritten rules, is because there are coaches
that can... But they're boring. The unwritten rules
are bad for
baseball.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. The only thing I'll say is that when your manager gives you a sign in that situation as a rookie, you got to do what he's telling you to do. But it's two different conversations. Giving a take sign on 3-0 when, I mean, you got a position player pitching who's throwing 47 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that. But having a rookie decide he wants to shrug off
right.
a sign.
And to ignore you, yes.
That's a problem.
Yeah. I agree.
But again, I mean, you're right. The unwritten rules of baseball, we talk about this all the time when stuff like this happens. They're stupid rules, and you got the Major League Baseball, let the kids play and everything else. The problem with that is that you do have people in baseball in positions of power that still feel a certain way, like Tony La Russa. And he keeps saying, this is a teaching moment. So we're going to perpetuate this, is that when you're in a spot like that, you don't want to show up the other team.
Yeah, but they can't do that, Rico. Like, it's got to stop at some point. Like, and I think there are enough players out there that can move the needle and move the game to a place where it becomes a more entertaining product. Like, I love the fact that Trevor Bauer took to social media yesterday, and I love what he said. He said, dear hitters, yep. If you hit a 3-0 homer off me, I'm not going to consider it a crime. Dear people who are still mad about a hitter hitting, kindly get out of the game. Can't believe we're still talking about 3-0 swings. If you don't like it, managers or pitchers, just be better.
How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
I don't always agree with what Trevor Bauer has to say, but on this particular issue, I'm right there with him.
He gets it with that stuff.
I'm right there with him.
Well, here's the other thing, though, too. I mean, if you're, and again, I don't agree with him taking it into his own hands and ignoring the sign. But I mean, imagine if you strike out. If you're Yermín Mercedes and you strike out with a guy throwing 47 miles an hour, how embarrassing that is.
That'd be awful.
Like, the expectation is you should crush that. You should crush it. Like, and that's what you get, too. You're going to throw a guy in there that doesn't pitch. What do you expect is going to happen going against Major League Baseball?
When they wave the white flag, whatever you do, I think, is well within reason now. I mean, if you're stealing bases up by 10, 11 runs, that's a different animal altogether. But to swing the bat? Come on. Ridiculous.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to ask this question. Does the no-hitter even move the needle for you at all at this point? Or are you just almost numb to a no-hitter when you wake up in the morning now?
I wouldn't say numb to it. I'm still impressed by it. I'm impressed that they let a guy's able to go 9 innings
mm-hmm.
in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Has it lost any of the luster for you, though?
A little bit. A little bit. But this is typical Major League Baseball, though. I mean, the things that they do. I mean, we're having these same conversations about home runs. It's like back in 2019, it's like, I mean, it's setting records all over the place. It's like, enough. Like, it's not fun to watch home runs anymore. Now it's how far the home runs go and exit velocity and everything else.
That's right. Exit velo.
Yeah.
That's the big number.
Plus, I think, Dave, with a no-hitter, I think it's a little bit different when it comes from a pitcher that's on a team that's amongst the worst in baseball. Like, the Tigers are really, really bad. And I think that there's a little bit of the shine gets taken off of it. You know, if this was a Yankees pitcher or a Dodgers pitcher, there'd be a little more hype, a little more conversation around it.
But how rare is it? I mean, this is the fifth one we've had in less than 2 months of baseball. I mean, if you have a season where you have 15, 17 no-hitters, is it really that special of a thing if it's done so often? I'm not saying no. I'm questioning at what point we're like, all right, another no-hitter.
It loses something.
Well, yeah, the most no-hitters in any given season was 7, right? I think that's the most that's ever been in one single season. We're already at 5. So, yeah, it might
almost
lose.
6, really. But if you counted Madison Bumgarner's 7-inning no-hitter,
well, there's no reason that should count.
That should count, but they're not counting it because it's baseball. It's a little bit ridiculous, but I mean, yeah, Dave, I'm with you. I mean, the more frequently it occurs, the less spectacular it is, I guess. But I mean, it's still an impressive feat.
I mean, if you see it as often as you're seeing it now, it's like, I mean, you can't help but lose a little bit. Well, yeah, you become desensitized to it.
Yeah.
I mean, what makes it special is that it very rarely happens. Like, no hitters, perfect games. I mean, those are special. But when,
perfect game is different. That's a different animal.
Well, no, it's absolutely different. But, I mean, we're at a point now with no hitters. It's like, I mean, they don't surprise you anymore
no.
with how bad the hitting is.
Not at all. And anybody can throw them. Like it's not even like the best of the best throw them now. Guys, you're like, who? He did?
I'm not even joking. What surprises you the most is the guy actually pitched a complete game.
That might be more rare than the no hitter at this point.
They let this guy pitch a complete game. Congratulations.
That's right. How many pitches did he throw? Kyle in Albany. Good morning, Kyle. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
We're good, Kyle. What's up?
There you go.
So, really quick, first thing I wanted to mention since Rick's back. So, I listened to the Nature Valley Nut Butter commercial outside of DCR. It is not sexual at all. You're making that up.
Come on. When you hear nut butter, your mind does go a little bit wild.
Oh, God.
No, my mind goes to that, but then I heard it on another commercial, and it was just there was nothing there. It was just amazing
because
commercial.
Of who he is.
What if it was nut mayo? Would that change your mindset?
Exactly. So,
Kyle, listen, we're going to need you to take one for the team here. Swing at the 3-0 pitch and go anywhere you
Come
want.
Come on, Kyle.
Come on, Kyle.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can, and we'd like you to mention anything you want. Go ahead.
So sorry, guys. So basically, I wanted to discuss. Back with the pitching and stuff. So they get a problem, first off, with, you know, him hitting a home run off a 46-mile-per-hour pitch, but Zach Greinke throws pitches like that constantly. I mean, he threw 3 of them to the Yankees the other day. No one's going to complain about that when they're hitting home runs like that off of 3-0 pitches because it's an actual pitcher. The other thing that I wanted to talk about as well was I think no-hitters are very impressive. Just the people that are doing it are making it not impressive because they're people that are losing 19 games in a season. I mean, that's just – you shouldn't be throwing a no-hitter. It shouldn't be that easy.
Well, I don't think you're wrong. I think the same thing could be said about the home run. I mean, when you get guys, you know, that don't normally hit home runs going opposite field and they make it look easy, I mean – Brett Gardner hit, what, 28 home runs in 2019? Like, the fact that everyone was doing it, it loses its luster a little
bit. It does, when guys can hit home runs almost on command. But here's the thing about the no-hitter. Like, in any sport, it could be a day where you're just, you're phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen it. We've seen guys who average 4 points a game go off for 35, right? We saw Terrence Ross score 50. Like things happen. We've seen quarterbacks you look at, like, he's not very good, throw for, you know, perfect games and 390 yards and 5 touchdowns. Like, I think that's what's so great about sports is you can have any given day that a mediocre, even a subpar player is just phenomenal. We've seen that. And I think that's kind of what makes sports as great as it is.
No, I don't think you're wrong. But I think when you take these no-hitters, and we're seeing them way more frequently early in a season than we would normally ever see them, and you couple that with the fact that hitting in baseball right now is so atrocious, it's like, well, why are these guys throwing hitters? Was it because they had, you know, one of those days where they had everything working? Or is it because they had good stuff and hitting is just so bad? Like, are they just taking advantage of awful offense right now?
I think that's a fair point. And the hitting is it's horrendous right now in Major League Baseball. It really takes a lot out of the game. Dave in Oakhurst. Dave, you're next up on 98.7.
Yeah, hi. You know, with the La Russa thing, with a 3-0, I used to coach, with a 3-0 pitch, that's not necessarily an unwritten rule. The reason they do it is, believe it or not, it's kind of like analytics. It's been proven that, you know, most of the time they go after it and it's where it's put, they pop it up or they hit it down, and you're not you're in position. You know, they don't put it in for a strike and you swing for it. Well, you got a strike. Well, you could have a walk. So it's.
Yeah, David, time out. I understand what you're saying.
Okay. Listen,
I understand what you're saying. I coach baseball as well. I played baseball my entire life. I understand what you're saying. Right. Under the circumstances where what happened, what we're talking about, is your mean Mercedes is not going up there trying to walk.
Mm-mm.
He's trying to do damage.
Not an 11-run game.
No.
If you're down by two.
No, I was basically what I was talking about. Well, it's the unwritten rule. It's really not the unwritten rule. It's baseball on going along. Now, what happened here, I think the only thing is the rookie didn't listen to the manager.
Yes,
it's
correct.
It's that simple. It's that simple. You know, I mean, should La Russa let him hit? I think that's a different story. But, But the major thing is he didn't listen to the manager.
But it's you know what, for him, though? It's a lose-lose, too, for La Russa, too, because he makes that decision. And you've seen, I mean, before La Russa took that job, I mean, the White Sox with Tim Anderson, Moncada, like, they're a new generation baseball team that plays with a lot of, I mean, you got bat flips. There's a lot of passion. So he comes in. I'm sure they're already looking at him side-eye that he's giving him the take, right? Like, what are you doing, man? I mean, let this guy hit. We want to see him hit a home run. Let him do some damage here. They got a position player pitching, so they see him give the take. He loses his mind. He's up on the top step yelling, take, take, take. So the guy's like, well, we're still doing this old school garbage? And then you take that, and you couple with the fact that a rookie's like, no. Your mean's going to do your mean. I'm swinging.
I love that. Manny's going to be Manny.
Come on, your mean. We're trying to defend you, Brian. You didn't have to come out and say that.
He got neutered by his rookie.
Yeah.
Neutered. But again, I mean, this is... We keep talking about it. I mean, this is the most we usually talk about baseball. Like, we'll go over the games and we'll talk Yankees and Mets. But as far as, you know, nationally, it's usually with something like this with stupid unwritten rules or someone getting a ball thrown at their head and everything else. But, yeah, I think it's dumb. I think that mindset has to change, too, with how hard it is to hit and how guys pitch. They pitch backwards. It's not like, you know, you get 3-0 and you're going to get a couple fastballs groove because the guy doesn't want to walk you. No, you're going to get breaking stuff. You're going to get nasty sliders. You're going to get changeups. You know, you can't just sit there and expect you're going to get a fastball.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised that this has turned into such a big story. But in fact, it has. And the Twins were not happy about it last night, and they went after the kid.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Canty, you should have heard him last week. I would say the open went at least 2.5 minutes.
So it's the longest Thursday Open that we've had from Rico since he's been doing the Thursday Open, is what you're saying.
Is it fair to say that's true, Rick?
Yeah, well, you yell at me every time. You're like, well, how come you didn't mention that, you know, we got an observations? How come you didn't mention we have DHIF? So I was like, I'm not going to make that same mistake, so I'm going to include everything that we'll have on the show.
I don't yell at you.
No, but it felt like constructive criticism.
Right.
Like,
okay.
Maybe
well,
you should
there,
add
there's,
this.
There's a far cry between me yelling at you and constructive criticism, no?
Well, that's how I take it. I'm so emotionally damaged that when you constructively criticize me, it comes across as yelling.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
Yes, we know that. Now, you're like the Tom Wilson of Sports Talk Radio.
Wow.
You're like picking on people.
That kind of bully,
not,
huh?
That's not fair.
So if ask, you ask Ray that.
What did I say last week about your open? I said it was sensational. I said it's now kind of turned into a roast where you just destroy the other people in your open. Right?
Well, you said nice things on Thursday, and then I got all my birdies out there, and I get hit up on Twitter that you entire are taking shots at me on your Saturday show.
Well, I think that did in fact happen. But I will say this. I'm confident. I don't really remember, but I'm confident that Ty started this parade and I just joined in.
So you jumped right into the dojo with Ty Kondo.
Like that kind of party.
Rico, you missed it earlier this week. Dave was taking shots at you. He was trying to Wally Pip you and replace you with Carlin.
That's not true.
That is what happened. We have sound on that.
I'd like to hear the sound where I said you could take over.
You
for
could
take
no. You absolutely said you could take over one of the spots on DCR. You absolutely said that.
I agree, but I did not say Rick's spot.
So it's my spot.
Wow,
it's a spot.
It's
it could be my spot.
Wow.
I mean, the natural progression would be he took over for me.
Wow.
He's like a lead driver of the show, and I even went as far as saying, "How about if we took a fourth person on the show? Would you want to do it?"
Dave,
these hours?
The more you keep talking, the more it feels like you're falling in that quicksand that Kwame Brown was talking about when he was referencing Matt Barnes.
No, I don't think so at all.
No, you did. You were trying to Wally Pip one of us. That's what you were trying to do.
We go four-way with Carlin. That's a lot of beef for one show. That's a lot of meat. You know why he wants him on the show, too, Chris, is because, and you should have heard him when you were gone. He's body-shaming Carlin every single day.
I did not body-shame him.
He's the one guy that he would be able to body-shame on.
Oh, yeah. Dave thinks he's an underwear model when Carlin's on the show.
Oh, God. No.
I was body-shaming.
What did he say, too, when he came on the Zoom the one time? I'm feeling a little bit breasty today.
He asks for it.
He likes it. I think he kind of likes it. A little bit.
Wants
it's
us to make fun.
Outrageous.
Outrageous.
It's outrageous.
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 Kelly and outrageous.
By the way, have you guys been watching? I didn't see it last night, so don't spoil it if you have. Have you been watching the Tournament of Champions on Jeopardy?
I have been.
No, I have not seen it.
Yeah, I have been.
So good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
I think the questions are harder on the Tournament of Champions.
Well, it is the Tournament of Champions, Dave. Yeah. You would expect that it would be a higher bar for them to clear,
these
wouldn't
people
you?
Are, they are really smart.
The host is a little dry for me, though.
You don't like Buzzy?
Yeah, Buzzy is just a little, best thing he's got going is the glasses.
He's got a good look.
Yeah, but I just think he's a little dry.
Underwhelming for Canty?
A little underwhelming.
What kind of question was that, though? What kind of statement?
Well,
questions seem harder. What would you? I mean, what were you expecting? Easy questions?
Not easy questions, but I mean, typically, I can almost dominate Jeopardy. These questions are.
But that's the problem, though. It's like we're just sitting here talking about the no hitter, and do you feel the same about the no hitter? A bunch of guys are doing it now, and you said no, you don't. So if all of a sudden you turn on Tournament of Champions, and you're able to get all the answers like the champions are, you'd be like, this ain't that hard.
I have so much knowledge.
Tournament of Champions. I could be a champion. That's
you,
what I'm
you don't think I'm smart.
You are a champion, Rico. Men's League champion.
Stop it. Multiple times.
You wouldn't even make it to Final Jeopardy. You'd have like minus 1,400. I'm like, sorry, Rick, to see you go, but we'll see.
I was at Mickey Rourke's this week for the couple days that I wasn't here. She's got some of the memorabilia hanging up. I actually took one piece home. I was actually proud of something that was on the wall, yeah.
It must honestly be cool to show the kids, though, right? They see what a star you were growing up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. No. I don't like to talk about it much. No, I don't like to talk about it that much. Like, Milo will occasionally notice that. Like, he wants pictures of me in his room, like me playing hockey in his room, which I think is awesome. And then I gave him so for Portlage, I had this big trophy made so guys could see it. And then before every game, we would take our all-in chips that I gave everyone. You got to be all-in. And you'd throw them into the championship trophy, which I had to drag to every single game. But I thought it was a good visual. Like, this is what you want. This is the championship that you want. So I had a big trophy made. And you throw your chip, and I'm all in to win it. So I let Milo hold on to it for me. So he's got this big, giant trophy in his room. And every time he walks in, he's like, see that, Dad?
Now, is this what you took from your mom's house?
No, I took I had like this. I got it from BU in my 1 year at BU. They gave me it's like a varsity letter where they have all your achievements from that year on the piece of paper.
Right.
That she had framed. And I was like, I look and I was like, wow, that was a pretty good freshman year.
There you go. What was your best achievement freshman year?
Who? Probably winning the Bean Pot.
That's a big tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up going to the Bean Pot. Like, that was my, like, every February. That was, like, my dad would always take me. We'd go watch my favorite. And I never forget, I made a sign. Chucky Hughes, lefty goalie, my favorite. Hold a sign for him. And then again, I got a chance to play in it. It's crazy.
Look at you. Well, let's go to maybe, possibly, our number one fan.
Here we go.
What? You don't want to go to
disrespect
Lonnie?
Disrespect the guy on purpose now.
No, I love Lonnie. Lonnie, good morning.
Good morning, family. You know, Dave, sometimes I told this to RJ yesterday when I didn't get through. It's like, I don't want to say you're Dave-sters, like the K-sters or whatever your Dave army is, or the people who tweet you saying that, you know, I'm not the biggest fan, et cetera, et cetera. Like I said when I called in a while ago, I believe in my heart I'm the biggest fan, but a lot of people could say the same thing. So I just wanted to say that, get that over with. But the Yankees yesterday, like I was telling RG as well, I wasn't watching the game in the fourth because I was cooking and I was watching a little bit of the Pacers Hornets. But when I turned back, they was down 3-0. I turned back a couple minutes later, they're up 4-3. And I was sitting there like, how did that happen so fast? It's a home run hitting team. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe a couple people hit home runs, like maybe two people got on base and hit home runs. Canty, come to find out, these dudes are hitting singles and doubles. Wow. What did I say it's going to take? Put the ball in play. Sometimes that's all it takes. You hitting a single here, a double here, maybe a triple. It doesn't take the ball always going over the fence for these teams to score. And I don't know if it was you guys or if it was listening to the K show when somebody said, who's going to be the first team to make the readjustment to how the game should be played now? The ball doesn't always need to go over the fence for teams to score. I don't necessarily care about every other team. I just want the Yankees to do it because I want the Yankees to win. If the Mets do it too, just for you guys, David, well, for three guys, actually, Dave, Rico, and Donnie, that I'll be fine with that too. But it doesn't take home runs to score, family. I've done what I can to done. Love you guys, as always.
Thank you, Lonnie. Oh, he's right.
Yeah, but I would pump the brakes with the, you know, we get one game and all of a sudden the Yankees
had one inning in one game. I think we can settle down a little bit that the Yankees.
And I also think look at the lineup they threw out there last night too. You know what I mean? You got Gardner batting second, yeah. Urshela's batting cleanup. I mean, it's not
what you want. No.
No, it's not.
No, but the Yankees aren't, listen, they're going to have to hit home runs in order to get to where they want to go. There's no question about that. All I'm saying is there's something to be said for being able to execute that type of approach where you're just passing the baton, you're worried about getting on base and then letting the next guy try to put together a good at bat and get on base or drive some guys in. Like, there's something to be said for being able to go into an inning and manufacture five runs with that type of approach where you have 10 batters at plate and you have seven guys reach base. Like, there's something to be said for being able to do that. And I think the Yankees need to incorporate more of that as we go on. I'm not saying that that's going to be their overall philosophy offensively. That's not how they're built. They got to hit home runs. But I'm just saying at some point you're going to get into a game where you don't have pitches that you can do damage with. And then so what are you going to do under those circumstances? I think last night was an example of what they should do.
Now, I think what frustrates you the most is a lot of time with, you know, Yankees. I mean, Stanton being one of those guys that there's way too many non-competitive at-bats, right? It looks like
they strike out a ton and they look overmatched at times.
But, I mean, again, listen, I mean, the pitching right now is ridiculous. So you're going to strike out. It's just what frustrates me sometimes as a baseball fan is I have no problem with you going up there with the mindset, I'm going to try to hit a home run and I'll give two, they call them their A swings. I'll give you two A swings. But as soon as we hit two strikes, now all of a sudden I got to adjust because it does my team no good if I strike out. It's a useless out. Well, you don't want to hit into a double play. Well, at least make the team that you're playing against actually complete the double play. They're not going to be perfect. Every time you hit a ground ball, it's not going to be turned into a double play. The guy will make a mistake. Force the action a little bit. Like, I don't need to see you flailing with two strikes to try to hit a home run.
That's not the way baseball's playing now, though.
At some point, though, there has to be something that it has to change a little bit. Like, guys need to adjust. Like, it can't be, you know, it's a walk or a strikeout, or a walk, home run, or a strikeout.
That's baseball at the moment, though. So, and I don't.
It's not fun to watch anymore, though, Dave.
I could not agree with you more. I mean, and it benefited the Mets last night, right? Nito hits the home run, but yes, it's become a bland game. It's a boring game, and whenever we try to interject a little bit of fun and excitement, you can't do that because of the unwritten rules. So, yeah, I 100% agree. All right, here we go. Time for me to shine, Santi, if you will.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart?
And now it's time to see.
I don't know what happened there. I thought I got disconnected.
I thought I lost the station. I thought I was done. I thought my complex went out.
I look at my comments. I'm like, am I still there? I'm still
there. I just panicked.
I had to say, I thought you were going to have to be Stump Rothenberg for a minute. Rick DiPietro on the Wednesday, filling in for Dave Rothenberg. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by BetMGM Sports. If my Comrex died at that very moment, what would happen with the segment right now? Would you guys just
it
play it?
It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates.
What would you do? Would you play the game?
No, we push it. No, we would push it. No, I mean, it's not fair to you. It's your day. It's your segment. We would push the Comrex game back.
Would you turn your Comrex off?
Yes.
Sorry, my Comrex is also not working. All right, let's start out as we always do and bring in Andy and Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. What's up, Drive Time?
No. That's not the way you start the show. No. Put him back on hold. Pick him up again.
What was that?
Wow. That was horrendous. Morning, DCR. How are you? No. Let's start again. Let's pretend that never happened. I'm thinking there was a glitch because I thought my Comrex went down. The station stopped for a minute. Let's start again. Welcome to Stump Rothenberg. Let's bring him in as we always do. Good morning, Andy and Merrick.
Good morning, DCR. What's up, Drive Time?
Much better, Andy. Much better.
I need an appointment with Dr. DTH for after last night's Islander game. Nonetheless, I got a basketball question.
You got the split. You guys are unbelievable.
Oh, you win game one. You want to get greedy. You want game two, too. Stop yourself.
All right. Go ahead,
Andy. All right,
Andy.
David. It's NBA playoff time. You ready for your question?
Yes.
Not surprisingly, LeBron James is the NBA's postseason record holder for steals with 445. Can you tell me who's number two?
Could it be Michael? Pippen? Magic would be my three guesses. You guys have any idea? I'm gonna say Scottie Pippen will be my guess.
Final answer?
Oh God. I'm confident it's Michael, Scottie, or Magic. All right, I'll go with Scottie Pippen. Yes, final answer.
And you would be correct, my friend. Stay off the board.
Correct. How about that? That was well done.
Not only was that well done, is that you named the next. You name the next three.
Mm-hmm. That's the part.
He does it on purpose, though. I know him. He does it on purpose.
I did not know the answer, I swear to God.
Rico, hang on the rim.
Yeah. I swear to God I did not know the answer.
No, I don't disagree. You probably didn't know exactly which one it was, but the fact that you named the next three is almost equally as impressive as knowing actually who it was.
All right, I'll take any praise I can get from you. I'll take it. Are you playing today?
Are you trying to? I mean, what kind of question is it? Of course, I'm playing.
It's a legitimate question. I don't know if you want me to go to another caller. You're ready for your question?
No, I'm ready.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead. Where
I'm
are you going?
Ready. This is topical.
Okay. Is it Charles Grodin related?
It is not Charles Grodin. Could be Josh Groban, not Charles Grodin.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
So LeBron James finished up his season, and now has 17 seasons averaging at least 25 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
There are four players tied with 12 such seasons. Can you name those four players?
Well, that's a good question. Will Chamberlain average 25 points a game? For 12, it's got to be what, 12 seasons?
12, you said? 12
and LeBron's
seasons,
at 17?
Yep. He's at 17, yeah.
Oh my God.
You got one current and three retired.
I'm thinking. think Iverson played long enough. Karl Malone.
That's one.
All right, it's got to be Jordan, right?
Jordan's two.
Mm-hmm. Current. I don't think Harden's been around. Durant? You said there's one current?
One current, one more that's retired.
The only one I could think of that's current is Durant.
Durant is number three. You got one more.
I don't think Wilt is the answer.
This one just went in the Hall of Fame, right, Rico?
Correct.
Yeah.
Kobe.
Kobe Bryant. There it is. Durant, Kobe, that Malone, Durant.
How about that?
How about Iverson that? Had 10. Iverson had 10 seasons.
10. How many did Wilt have? Do we know?
Wilt Chamberlain had 8.
Wow. All right. That's 2-0. This is quite the start for me today.
That's a good question.
There you go, Dave.
That was a good question.
There you go.
I mean, I don't know whatever happened to the, single questions. Now you're giving like a four-part question, but it was a good question.
It's not a four-part question. It's just the four, four names in that one. If it was two people tied at 12, it would have been two. You can't separate the four.
I don't know. I mean, it's a...
Oh, don't lump me in the
Carly
category.
It's a four-part question. It's supposed to be one singular answer.
It is one singular answer, but there's four guys tied. This is not like Carlin. Like, give me who won the coin toss in the Giants Super Bowls.
So you didn't like that question last week, did you?
It was awful.
All right, let's go to Rick in Sunnyside. Rick, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, I want to welcome everybody back. That guy Carlin was a headache. enough of these multi-part questions, by the way. Come on.
Thank you.
So, here's my question.
Yeah.
On the subject of no-hitters, who is the last individual pitcher to no-hit the Yankees?
No-hit the Yankees? Kenty, do you know this?
I have no clue, Dave. No clue.
I don't think I know it either.
It's a tough one, Dave, but it's a name that you would recognize. Definitely.
Name I'd recognize. Because the Astros did it, but you said an individual guy.
Yeah. Not the team no-hitter in 2003.
Right, right. Individual. Bill Wagner closed that one out. God, I can't. I know Bob Feller did, but that's back in like the 40s. I don't. I mean, this has to be before I was born.
It's definitely before you were born, yeah. But it's after Bob Feller.
The only other one I can think of is Hoyt Wilhelm.
Yes, good job.
Oh,
Dave.
How about that?
Rothenberg. Wow. That is very impressive.
Good job, Dave.
That felt good. Yeah.
How good was that?
That was amazing.
That's one of your best of all time.
That, a name you would know. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it.
It's a name that you would know. It's top of your head.
Oh, my God.
Wilhelm. I didn't know right off the top of my head. I had to think about it. I thought that Wilhelm had done it, but I wasn't sure.
I mean, you're diving deep in the annals of baseball, Dave.
Way deep. And
I'm telling you. Be able to come up with that one.
Almost as deep as your thermometer. It's 1958.
Listen, you got to go deep to find out.
I am
thermometer boy right now.
It was 58.
Oh, my gosh.
The best temperature is taking really well into the cavity.
Yes, it's 59!
We need to get it right in the middle of your body.
Let's go to, close to your stomach. Matt in Hicksville. Matt, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hello. Geography question.
Right.
What is the only country in the world with land in all four hemispheres? Northern, southern, eastern, western.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah. all four hemispheres. It's going to be a country you've never heard of, I bet.
Is it? I mean, is it? It has to be. Is it just one singular
It's going to be a country you never heard of. It's going to be it's going to be something in like the South Pacific or something that dips into all four hemispheres.
But does it have multiple islands attached to it? Like
that's what it's got. It has to. I don't know it, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it. I'm going to guess Russia, but I know it's wrong.
Nope. Sorry. It's Kiribati, the Pacific island nation of Kiribati.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. I did not know that. So that's fine. That's 3-1. You want to take one more?
We have to. You're not going on like that.
All right. If I take an Islanders question, will you help me out here,
yes.
though?
Yes.
All right. Danny Long Island. Danny, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good to have the whole team back. I love calling, but it's just too much controversy, too much noise at 5 o'clock in the morning. I like the flow of your show much better. But here we go.
This is the show, so I would imagine you would like this show.
Islander better. Playoff run, so we give Dave an Islander playoff question.
Okay.
The greatest goal in the history of New York hockey was scored by Bobby Nystrom, a walk-off Stanley Cup winning Game 6 goal. We've all seen it a million times. Can you tell me the two Islanders who assisted on that goal?
You know this?
I do, yeah.
And when it scored, I got up and punched a wall and broke a knuckle.
Wow.
Yes.
Why did you punch the wall, though? You were so excited you just decided you wanted to punch
the wall?
I was
so excited, I just reached out and... I was 15 at the time.
Wait, you were so excited that you hit the wall?
I know, yeah, you know, you're 15. That's my explanation. I was 15.
That's very strange. I've never become violent with one of my teams winning.
That's so, think about how long ago that was. That me,
1980.
At 15, this was so long ago in my life that my father telling me about the Brooklyn Dodgers winning in 55 was closer than me telling my son about the Islanders winning in 80. Think about it. That's how long ago this is. My whole life has transpired.
All right, I'm going to name one and you name one, Rick. I'm going to say John Tinelli.
That's the easy one.
Because I think
Tinelli, and I believe the other assist was from somebody that has coached me in the past with the Islanders. I think it was Lorne Henning.
That is correct, but Dave does not get credit. Dave does not get credit.
That's fine.
He did have...
That's teamwork, Danny. Teamwork makes the sport, man.
Second of all, it's a two-part question, which is not supposed to be. Third of all, I said if I'm going Islanders question, I'm gonna you know use Rick's help as well.
It was a good question, though. I do like the question. That goal was an awesome goal. Ugh. Ugh. Makes you feel good. That's when Lorne had the infamous when Milbury asked the question in the locker room, like, does anyone else have anything to say? And we're like, no, don't do it. Don't do it, Lorne. And he's like, yeah, well, maybe if you got off Butch's back and let him coach, things would go better.
Oh.
And then he looked at Lorne, and he's like, oh, let me think about that, Lorne. That's a good suggestion. F you, and he got in his face. We're like, oh, no.
And that, my friends, is Stump Rothenberg.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.